Dr. Peter Johnston is a scientist at UCT's Climate Systems Analysis Group and a weather forecaster as well. Hello, Peter.
Hi, John.
I was asked yesterday in a WhatsApp from a listener, Peter, how do forecasters estimate how hot it is going to be? What do they take into account? I didn't know the answer. I suppose I could have Googled it, but I'm not sure that I would have understood the answer that Google gave me. That's part of the reason why you're on the radio this afternoon. How do forecasters say, well, we think that on Tuesday next week, it's going to be 26 or 42 degrees?
Okay, so it's not a case of we think. It's not a case of just conjecturing. I mean, there's a very precise and expensive process that goes on. So every day, the weather service and other weather professionals will release weather balloons up into the atmosphere to determine what the temperatures are at various heights. And this is very important to determine lapse rates, to determine the amount of heat in the atmosphere, and gives us a glimpse of what it is like up there. So we get a glimpse of the macro situation through all these weather balloons that are being released. And they've got instruments on them which report back. Expensive business. Then we also take what we call antecedent conditions. So we would be measuring, keep in mind the temperatures yesterday and the day before that, and measuring the wind directions, because both lateral wind and vertical wind transporting air, which is of a certain temperature. So, for example, the hot temperatures that we're likely to get over the weekend are not necessarily from the air that's around us, because we've got cool oceans nearby, but come from inland. So if we're seeing that the air is coming down the plateau, it heats when it comes down the plateau for adiabatic heating, it's called, and then we sit with air that originated somewhere else, which in fact is a lot hotter. And that air then makes our temperature warmer. We also look at historical proxies, which means when last did something, or when last was the situation similar to what it is now. And that gives us a guideline. But ultimately, all this information, the temperature, the winds, the humidities, et cetera, go into huge supercomputers, which will then work out using the physics equations of the atmosphere and give us an indication through the use of models what the situation is going to be for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10 days. Clearly, the uncertainty increases the further out you get.
Yeah, because
we do get an inkling a week ahead of time whether there's going to be a heat wave, and that's what we had. We weren't exactly sure of the temperatures, and they still vary quite dramatically between forecasts.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. If it is so precise and so much money is thrown at it and these supercomputers are crunching all of these numbers, then why is it that for today, taking three weather forecasts, the maximum temperature is forecast at 30, 35 and 33. Tomorrow it's a lot closer, 38, 39 and 38. Sunday it's again pretty much on the same page, 37, 37 and 35. But then, and this goes to what you said earlier about it gets more difficult the further ahead the forecast is. Monday, it's 27, 29 and 27. Tuesday, it's 25, 31 and 25. On Wednesday next week, it's 24, 33 and 26. And on Thursday next week, the forecasts are 29, 28 and 25. So on some days, the three forecasts are within a degree or two of each other, and others, there's a 5 and even 8 degree variance. How does one explain that?
Well, one struggles, doesn't one? Because, you know, your credibility is on the line here. But what one has to understand is there are many different models, and the different organizations use different models, and the models tweak slightly differently to try and mimic what happened in the past so they can get the future correct. But it's just like predicting where the rand's going to go. You'll have 10 businessmen or 10 financial consultants on the line, and they'll all tell you slightly different things. So the models will vary. They will produce what we call an ensemble, which is a collection of outputs. And, depending which model you're using and on which day and which conditions that they're putting into those models will determine what the output is. So it is very, very hard. And, of course, you've got to ask yourself, well, for where is that temperature? I mean, if I predicted 35 degrees for tomorrow, where exactly is it going to be 35? Is it going to be in the middle of town? Is it going to be in the shade somewhere where there's a slight breeze? Is it going to be under a tree? And that's very, very hard to do. So the fact that there is a variation in the forecasts gives an indication that, you know, that there are a variety of models that are being used, and that nobody is saying that they are the right one. They are perfect. They're all prepared to admit that the actual temperature could be within 2 or 3 degrees of what's predicted.
Do you have an idea what the temperature is now? Do you have access to a real-time temperature reading, which is official?
Oh, sure. No, well, I've got a weather station outside on the pole, and I can just moving to the display. Right now, it's 34.5 degrees in Frederik.
Okay, which would make your forecast for today of 35 degrees exactly accurate, or pretty close to exactly accurate. So how can we trust
well,
you?
Well, I've got a very big thermometer.
I mean, as we well know, different places in Cape Town have different maximum temperatures. And I mean, driving into work this morning, when I was driving through the southern suburbs, it was 24 degrees. And coming over Hofstelbend, immediately my car thermometer read 29 degrees, and that's in, you know, the space of 4 minutes. So that reflects a change in temperature related to a change in sort of geography.
Correct. There's a huge variation, and the city bowl itself is odd because there's a combination of factors. There's what we call the urban heat island, so you've got all the offices churning with their air conditioners and their electricity producing a massive amount of heat. You've got black tar roads which are absorbing heat. You've got a mountain which is acting as a reflector of sunlight beaming down onto the city. And there's, generally speaking, a lack of wind or less wind around the city bowl on most days than there is in the southern suburbs where you're getting an oceanic breeze. So we know that the city is going to be warmer, and if I predict 33 degrees for the city, you can generally expect it to be anything around 25 to 28 in the southern suburbs.
And I was distressed to read in your Friday weather forecast, or distressed to be reminded that February is the hottest month generally in Cape Town. So what we're getting
March.
Now is a foretaste of what's to come.
Yeah, we can't say that for sure because we can have spikes at any time. But generally speaking, we are seeing that late February and even early March are when we're peaking in temperature. But fortunately, the days are a little bit shorter, so the total amount of heat might be less. But the peaks are certainly highest around then.
Oh, dear, said somebody who doesn't do well in the heat. Oh, dear. Thank you very much, Dr. Peter Johnston, who's the scientist at UCT's Climate Systems Analysis Group. In Frederik at the moment, it is 34.5 degrees.